to pre-ICANN 62 policy webinar on Tuesday, 12th of June, 2018 at 10 UTC. This is Ozan Şahin from ICANN Regional Office in Istanbul. And before I hand it over to David Dollar for his opening remarks, I would like to point out some helpful information available in the housekeeping rules pod, which is located on the left bottom corner of your screen. We will start with a briefing from policy development support team. Then a questions and answers session will follow. Meanwhile, please feel free to type your questions or comments with suggested format in the chat box. With that, I will now hand it over to David Dollar. David?
Thank you very much, Ozan, and welcome to everyone. As you may know, is our custom of the policy development staff provide a briefing before each ICANN meeting. And today's webinar deals with our pre-ICANN 62 policy webinar, as the meeting will be a policy forum. And that format is slightly changed from what we do for the other ICANN meetings. We'll provide a little more in-depth review of the activities of the policy and advice groups at ICANN. But it's a pleasure that we are able to do this for you in preparation for the meeting, and we thank you for joining our webinar today. Of course, a policy at ICANN is developed through our multi-stakeholder approach, with the community members actively involved, many people on the call or through their active participation in various working groups. Through our generic name supporting organization, our address supporting organization, or our country code naming support organizations are actively involved in the policy development. But, of course, our advisory committees are also a part of that and input into the process. And we will be talking more about the contributions of each of these supporting organizations and advisory committees today on our webinar. Just a brief comment about the policy development support staff. Here is some information. There are 34 full-time employees, subject matter experts, and support services staff in five time zones across 11 countries. And we facilitate the discussions and the work of the community members who are involved in the various activities, working groups, and councils, and it is our pleasure to talk about some of that work today. In terms of ICANN 62, the policy forum, it is a slightly different format from the other two ICANN meetings. There's a development policy and advice development focus, enhanced cross-community interactions, outreach involvement as well. There are no formal opening ceremonies and no public forums. This, of course, allows time for the various groups to engage in the work that they are involved with, the priority topics of the day, and we'll talk more about that, and to have in the afternoon the cross-community sessions or discussions with the larger group so that people know what is involved in their issues and the process stages that they are including, and to hear their views and inputs as well. In terms of the cross-community and high-interest topics in Panama, we have these. There will be an update on the registration directory services. The review team will talk about their work. There will be also discussions about the accountability and, of course, the general data protection regulations, various topics related to that, and the generic names at the top level discussion, part of a generic name supporting organization working group, will also have larger discussions. The cross-community topics, we'll briefly go through them. And in terms of the registration directory services, here are some of the details. of what to expect at ICANN 62 and how to be involved with that and how to prepare yourself. This is part of the review team's update. We will also have work on the general data protection regulations, several sessions involved with that, and what that means for ICANN. This is, of course, an important topic, and we'll have, I'm sure, an active discussion on that. There will also be a report from the ICANN Accountability Working Stream 2. Some of their final recommendations are now ready to be shared, and we'll hear more from that group in their session at ICANN 62. Here are some of the details. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Marika Konings, our Vice President for Policy Development for the Generic Name Supporting Organization, to talk to us a little bit more about these sessions relating to the work of the GNSO. Marika, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, David, and hello, everyone. Thank you very much for joining us today. So I will first, before going into some of the details of the GNSO, the Generic Name Supporting Organization-related session, I'll first talk to you a little bit about one of the high-interest topic sessions that is scheduled at ICANN 62. As you now are probably all aware, the ICANN board adopted a temporary specification for GTLD registration data last month. The adoption of this temporary specification was needed to allow ICANN contracted parties, namely GTLD registries and ICANN accredited registrars, to comply with existing ICANN contractual obligations while also complying with the European Union GDPR, or also known as the General Data Protection Regulation, which came into force recently. And according to the provisions and the contracts that ICANN has with GTLD registries and ICANN accredited registrars, the adoption of a temporary specification triggers the requirement for the GNSO to commence a policy development process to confirm whether or not the temporary specification should become a consensus policy. This policy development process, in turn, is required to be completed in a one-year time period. During the high-interest topic session at ICANN 62, which is scheduled on the last day of the meeting, the last session of that day, the Council leadership will provide an update on the discussions that have taken place prior to, as well as during ICANN 62, in relation to the policy development process, as well as the expected next steps. As noted, following the adoption of the temporary specification, the GNSO is now tasked to commence the policy development process. The GNSO Council, as the manager of the PDP, is expected to ensure the effective setup, management, and oversight of this policy development process. Factoring in the time that is available to complete the process, the Council is considering initiating what is called an expedited policy development process, or an EPDP, which will hopefully allow meeting the one-year time period that is available to complete the process. An EPDP follows to a large extent the same steps as a normal PDP, but there are some areas that have been streamlined, especially in the initial phase of work, which is expected to result in important time savings. Following the adoption of the temporary specification, the Council did have a number of questions in relation to the scope, timing, impact of potential future changes to the temporary specification, as well as relevant procedural requirements that were discussed amongst the Council, stakeholder group, and constituency chair, as well as the ICANN board. This is actually the first time ever a temporary specification has been adopted, followed by a one-year policy development process, so there's no precedent or template that can be used here. And the Council is actually having an extraordinary meeting shortly after this policy update webinar to further discuss these issues and especially focus on the next steps required to commence the EPDP, such as development of the EPDP initiation request and the EPDP team charter. The focus of the Council to date has been to agree on the procedural aspects of the policy development process to ensure optimal preparedness for the next steps. Once the Council has agreed how to proceed, it will also need to determine what should happen with the Next Generation Registration Directory Services PDP Working Group. That effort started over 2 years ago with the objective to develop a Next Generation Registration Directory Services. However, the adoption of the temporary specification has now superseded some of that work, so the Council will need to consider whether to suspend or terminate that effort, as it's unlikely that this PDP can operate in parallel to the policy development process on the temporary specification. So what are the expected next steps? As noted, following today's extraordinary Council meeting, there will likely be more clarity. But the expectation is that the Council will focus its attention next on the drafting of the EPDP initiation request and the EPDP team charter. This would include aspects such as the scope of the EPDP team composition, as well as the proposed working methods, again, factoring in that the process will need to be completed within a one-year time period. Shortly thereafter, the EPDP team is expected to be formed. As part of discussions on the initiation request in the Charter, the Council will need to agree on the composition of the EPDP team, factoring in features such as representativeness, manageability, empowerment, and experience. A significant commitment will be expected from EPDP team members as the work needs to be completed in a one-year time period. As such, existing practices and approaches are not deemed viable. The Council expects that input received as part of the PDP 3.0 conversations, which are focused on enhancing the efficiency and effectiveness of the PDP, that this will provide important guidance in that regard. Subsequently, the formation of the EPDP team will then mark the commencement of the deliberations. A tentative timeline foresees the publication of an initial report shortly after ICANN 63 in Barcelona in October of this year, to be able to complete the remaining steps and for the Council to deliver its proposed policy recommendations in time for ICANN board consideration at the latest by 24th of May 2019, meeting the one-year time period. And as this is a fast-moving topic, I would like to encourage you to join the high-interest topic session at ICANN 62, where the GNSO Council leadership will share with you the latest information on this topic. And with that, I'll be handing it over to my colleague, Emily Barabas.
Thanks, Marika. Hello, everyone. My name is Emily Barabas, and welcome to this webinar. Thanks for joining us. So I'm going to provide some additional information about two cross-community sessions at ICANN 62 that will be focused on geographic names at the top level. The topic of geographic names at the top level is one where there is strong interest in the ICANN community across the different supporting organizations and advisory committees. This is a topic that is actively being discussed in Work Track 5, which is a subteam of the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Policy Development Process Working Group. And that larger working group is more broadly working on policy and implementation guidance for future opportunities to apply for new generic top-level domains. At ICANN 62, Work Track 5 will be seeking input from across the community on issues it has been discussing since the fall of last year. The four co-leaders of the Work Track will be moderating the sessions with special attention to gathering the perspectives and concerns of a broad range of stakeholders from across the community. For those who are not yet familiar with Work Track 5, I'll provide just a little bit of background here. As I mentioned earlier, Work Track 5 is a subteam of the Subsequent Procedures Policy Development Process. It functions under the GNSO operating procedures and has an inclusive leadership structure with one co-leader from each the CCNSO, the GAC, the ALAC, and the GNSO. This unique structure is intended to support broad participation and keep the Work Track connected to each part of the community with an interest in the topic. Work Track 5 initially focused on developing a terms of reference document and a work plan. It has since focused on substantive discussions reviewing the 2007 policy, the 2012 implementation. It has considered possible future treatment of different categories of geographic terms and is discussing benefits and drawbacks of the options presented. Some of the types of terms discussed in this group include, for example, two-letter combinations in ASCII, country and territory names included in the 2012 applicant guidebook, for example, three-letter country codes and short and long-form country and territory names on the International Organization for Standardization, or ISO 3166-1 standard, geographic names included in the 2012 applicant guidebook, for example, capital city names when used for the purposes associated with a city name, subnational place names, and UNESCO regions, as well as additional potential geographic terms that were not included in the 2012 applicant guidebook. And here is some additional detail about what you can expect at ICANN 62. There will be a total of 3 hours of cross-community time devoted to this topic. It will be split into two 90-minute sessions. The first session on Monday, June 25th, will include background on WorkTrack 5 and an update on the group's progress and timeline. Here, the co-leaders will share preliminary outcomes of the group for feedback and validation, and then we'll begin discussing some of the key areas that the WorkTrack is still considering and where additional input is welcome from the community. The second session on Thursday, June 28th, will focus on additional topics where the WorkTrack would appreciate more feedback from community members across supporting organizations and advisory committees. All are encouraged to attend and actively contribute to these sessions, regardless of whether they have been involved in WorkTrack 5 previously. So this is a great opportunity to have your voice heard on this important issue. And now I will pass it over to my colleague, Carlos Reyes, who will be speaking about the address supporting organization. Thank you.
Carlos, we cannot hear you. Are you on mute? Can you please check? Okay, we still cannot hear Carlos. Maybe we jump to the other update and we can then go back to ASO update by Carlos. So Bart, are you able to speak now?
I hope I am. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So I'll provide you a brief update of the GCNSO, and as soon as I'm finished, I'll ask Carlos to fill the slot I was supposed to go. So moving forward, the GCNSO is focusing effectively on one specific CCNSO policy topic in Panama, and that's on the PDP on retirement of CCTLDs. This is PDP number 3 of the CCNSO, and they will discuss this. They first the working group will provide an update to the community, and that's on Tuesday. And secondly, the working group itself will discuss this during a 3-hour session on Thursday morning. I'm focusing specifically on this PDP because, as you just heard Emily talking about the country and territory names, although significant for the CCTLDs and they participate in that working group, it is not specifically targeted at CCTLDs or for CCTLDs. So that's the reason to include this specific policy and policy-related work. So what has been done to date, they've included a terminology glossary around the terms used in the context of retirement. This sounds very abstract. What it means effectively is they've looked at the terminology that's included in the ISO 3166 standard, for example, and used by PTI and or IANA, if it depends on your preferred terminology for that one. And that relates to, for example, what is a reserve code under the ISO 3166. So it's of broader importance than just the retirement of CCTLDs, and it's publicly available. So that's with respect to the terminology. It has been completed, but it is a living document, so it will be updated from time to time. The other retirement or the other completed work is work around the retirement scenarios and work plan. And the retirement scenarios fed into what the working group is currently undertaking and hope to conclude at the Panama meeting. That's the comparative analysis of the cases to date. There are just a few cases of retirement of CCTLDs. They hardly happen, fortunately. And in order to understand the process and the evolution of the process to date, the working group has undertaken a comparative analysis. And this is the start to develop the policy, and that will commence at the Panama meeting on Thursday morning. So if you're interested, you're more than welcome to attend that that session on Thursday morning. And finally, and although they will not start, but that's part of the work plan, they will conduct some stress tests, develop stress tests, and check whether the developed policy is able to meet the stress test. Other items that will be discussed by the CCNSO, and there are two ways of looking at it. Say first is looking at the meetings themselves. So Monday is the first day of the ICANN 62 meeting. It will be dedicated to Tech Day, and there will be working group meetings. The CCNSO members will meet on Tuesday and Wednesday, and the CCNSO Council on Wednesday afternoon. And the topics they will be visiting, so that's another perspective, is a continued session on disaster recovery and business continuity. So this is not so much policy-related work as sharing best practices and discussing the experiences to date. This is a follow-up from the disaster recovery session in San Juan, and it prepares the community, the CCTLD community, for a workshop in Barcelona. And again, there will be two perspectives, one more operational technical, that's on Tech Day, so on Monday, and at the CCTLD Members Day, I believe it's going to be on Tuesday, there will be a business and administrative perspective on disaster recovery and business continuity. So that's one block. A second major topic will be the discussions and adoption around the work stream 2 accountability recommendations. Again, first, and they will follow the same type of procedure as with the work stream 1 recommendations. First, a discussion and view of the CCTLD's present on the recommendations, and on Wednesday during the council meeting, a discussion and hopefully adoption by the CCNSO Council. And finally, which is again an interesting session, probably broader than just the CCNSO, is of CCTLD's present, is a session on PTI, so the IANA performance or on the IANA naming function. Again, it's first of all the regular update from PTI and from the CSC, the Customer Standing Committee, but this meeting is particularly of interest because there will be a presentation on the amended charter for the Customer Standing Committee, and hence expected and hopefully the closure of the first charter review of the Customer Standing Committee. And this concludes my short and brief update, I hope, from the CCNSO. And I think I need to hand back to Carlos. Carlos, are you able to talk now?
Thanks, Bart. Hi, everyone. Can you hear me this time?
Yes, we do, Carlos.
Thank you, Bart. Hi, everyone. This is Carlos Reyes with an update from the Adverse Supporting Organization. As you know, the ASO is the supporting organization at ICANN that reviews and develops recommendations for Internet number resources, and its Address Council manages the global policy development process. The ASO conducts monthly teleconferences and meets annually at one ICANN public meeting. This year, that meeting was ICANN 61 in Puerto Rico, so their activities for ICANN 62 are fairly light. However, four updates for you. First, the organizational review. Since 2017, an independent examiner conducted an organizational review of the ASO, and that community now continues with regional consultations on one recommendation about the structure of the ASO. So those consultations continue, and the NRO, the Number Resource Executive Council, is coordinating the activities across the regional Internet registries. Next, earlier we heard David Olive speak about the final report from the Cross-Community Working Group on Enhancing ICANN Accountability. The ASO has been actively participating in this through two members, and they have been reviewing those recommendations and will track community discussions for their next steps on this as well. About a month ago, the ASO Address Council announced the selection of Rhonda Silva to serve another three-year term on seat 9 of the ICANN board. Mr. De Silva is completing his first term, so this will be another term for him, and the ASO Address Council will soon begin the process for ICANN board seat 10, which will develop in the coming year. In terms of regional policy development, every regional Internet registry has had the first round of meetings this year, and there are several proposals, about a handful of proposals in each RIR regarding transfer, exhaustion, assignments or sub-assignments, and allocation of IPv4 or IPv6 addresses. We're also seeing a lot of regional Internet registries clarifying their procedures to ensure that everything is aligned as that community, as an Internet numbers community, continues to refine their policies. Finally, as I mentioned, the ASO already met at an ICANN meeting this year, so several members will be present in Panama City, though there are no formal sessions. And if you'd like to engage more directly with the Internet members community, their next round of regional Internet registry meetings are coming up from September to November in various locations around the world. And with that, we'll hand it back to Marika Koning.
Thank you very much, Carlos. And hello, everyone, again. So as this is the policy forum that the Generic Name Supporting Organization, or GNSO, has carved out significant time for its policy development activities. The different policy development process working groups have been allocated substantial face-to-face time to progress in their deliberations. In addition, the GNSO Council has reserved time to further plan and deliberate on the GTLD, the registration data temporary spec policy development process, as I spoke about previously. Bilateral meetings are also scheduled with the country code supporting organization, the CCNSO, and the Governmental Advisory Committee, the GAC, to discuss issues of common interest and or activities that have been jointly organized. For example, that the CCNSO and GNSO councils are expected to discuss next steps in relation to the consideration of the revised Customer Standing Committee's charter, for which they have a joint responsibility. I would also like to take advantage of this opportunity to invite you to the upcoming pre-ICANN 62 GNSO update webinar, which will take place on Monday, the 18th of June at 2100 UTC. If you are interested to have a more in-depth briefing on the status of the different GNSO policy development activities, as well as what you can expect at ICANN 62 in that regard, I would like to invite you to join this webinar, which has as the objective to facilitate your participation and engagement in GNSO policy development activities at ICANN 62. In addition, the GNSO support team will also be hosting a daily GNSO briefing at ICANN 62 at the start of every day, during which we will highlight the meetings on the agenda for the day and the topics that are expected to be discussed, again, to help you help and facilitate your participation in these activities. You will also see a limited set of GNSO stakeholder group and constituency meetings on the agenda. These are also to a large extent focused on policy-related activities, as well as coordination and engagement with members of these respective groups. The GNSO Council meeting is expected to include topics such as an update on the status of the implementation of the GNSO review, which is nearing its completion, further consideration of the policy development process on the temporary specification for GTLD registration data, consideration of the use of emoji domain names in GTLDs, a possible final report from the Curative Rights for IGO and NGOs and PDP Working Group, as well as consideration of the expected Accountability Workstream 2 final report. This is then followed by a wrap-up session at the end of the meeting, during which the GNSO will commence its planning for the next ICANN meeting. To give you already a bit of a flavor of the policy topics that you can expect to be addressed at ICANN 62, you can find an overview here on this slide. As I mentioned, substantial time has been set aside for all these groups. For example, for the new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP working group, this includes two cross-community sessions, which it will use to prepare for the publication of its initial report on work tracks 1 to 4. In addition, as Emily previously explained, geographic names in the new GTLD program is also expected to be a focal point of their discussions. As I've noted before, the GNSO is expected to further consider next steps in relation to the policy development process on the temporary specification for GTLD registration data, which could include allowing the EPDP team to commence its deliberations if it is formed in time. The review of all rights protection mechanisms, PDP Working Group, will focus its attention on a sub-team report on the Uniform Rapid Suspension, or URS, data collection, as well as some of the procedural issues associated with that process. Last but not least, the new GTLD auction proceeds cross-community working group is expected to provide a status update to the community while also considering responses to the remaining charter questions as it's working towards the publication of its initial report. So all in all, a very busy agenda for the GNSO at ICANN 62. And as noted before, if you are interested to get the details for each of these topics, please join the pre-ICANN 62 GNSO policy update webinar next week. And with that, I'm handing it over to my colleagues Heidi and Evan.
Thank you very much, Marika. Hello, everyone. My name is Heidi Alrich. I'm Vice President for Policy Development and At-Large Relations. My colleague, Evan Agdogdu, and I will give you a preview of the key policy topics and activities of the At-Large Advisory Committee, or the ALAC, and the At-Large Community, consisting of 228 at-large structures and 76 individuals during ICANN 62. I'll be discussing the key activities at ICANN 62 for at-large, and then hand it over to Evan. The ALAC members, liaisons, and RALA leaders will hold a total of 19 sessions with a focus on policy issues. The key policy issues to be discussed are the new GTLD and work tracks 1 to 5, as well as GDPR and who is. At-large will also have a session on the root key, signing key, or KSK rollover. To prepare for the cross-community sessions in the afternoon, at-large will hold daily prep sessions. Evan will highlight the policy issues in just a moment. Related to organizational and process issues, there will be sessions on such topics as the next steps on the at-large review and the fiscal year 19 budget. At-large will also hold sessions with the Governmental Advisory Committee and the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, as well as joint outreach and engagement sessions with the non-commercial stakeholder group. The regional at-large organizations, or RALOs, will also be busy. The regional leadership will focus on implementing their policy hot topics and continue discussions on individual members' participation within at-large. as ICANN 62 is within Latin America and the Caribbean Islands region, LACRELO, members will both hold an open house meeting as well as an evening networking open house. Also, members of the ACRALO African group will meet to finalize their statement on GDPR. And finally, regarding leadership transition, the ALAC and regions have completed their elections this year. The new leaders will take their seats during ICANN 62, but are already engaging in a transition period heading towards Barcelona. In addition, the ALAC is currently having a call for nominations for a new ALAC chair. Alan Greenberg, who has been the chair of ALAC since October 2014, will be stepping down from his position as chair, as well as from the ALAC, at the end of ICANN 63. The new ALAC chair is expected to be known during ICANN 62, and following a transition period will follow. I will now hand the floor over to Evan, who will provide a brief update on the at-large policy development activities. Evan?
Thank you, Heidi. Hello, this is Evan Erdodu, Policy Support Coordinator for At-Large and the At-Large Advisory Committee. As an advisory committee to ICANN, the ALAC has made 11 public comment statements since ICANN 61 in March, and will be focusing on the following topics during ICANN 62. On this slide, there is a list of recent related statements to each topic. Firstly, new GTLDs and work tracks 1 through 5. Community TLDs are of crucial importance to at-large. The ALAC supported its draft procedure, including the proposed community GTLD change request form, subject to three provisions articulated in the statement: required outreach to the TLD community, change request comment period, and approval criteria. Secondly, GDPR and who is. Please note the first two statements listed are not formal ICANN public comments, but requests from the community to comment on these topics. Overall, the ALAC agreed with the ICANN interim compliance model's tiered access approach, while remaining divided on several other issues, including purposes of processing WHOIS data, applying the interim model on a global basis, and distinction between legal and natural persons. And the third policy topic of focus is the KSK rollover. The ALAC provided several recommendations to ICANN regarding the impending KSK rollover and called for a holistic review, including a risk assessment of the alternative in time for further discussion at ICANN 62. For a full list of ALAC policy advice, please search the at-large website policy summary page, which is listed on the slide. And thank you. And now I'll turn it over to Rob Hogarth, Vice President for Policy Development and GAC Relations.
Thank you, Evan, very much for that handover. Welcome, everybody, and thanks for letting me provide some remarks to you today about preparations that the GAC has underway for ICANN 62. As with the other communities that you've already heard about, a public forum presents a real challenge from a scheduling perspective. We've essentially got four substantive days to squeeze a lot of conversations and work into it, and the GAC, like other groups, has that similar challenge. There are nearly 30 topic sessions scheduled for GAC conversations in Panama, and as usual, they focus in four major areas. There's work on substantive topics. There are conversations about operational matters. There are bilateral meetings that some of my colleagues have already talked about with other groups. And then there are working group meetings. Among the various topics that are either scheduled for sessions or that we expect to have conversations with during communique drafting or the rest include GDPR, IGO protections for both names and acronyms, progress on .amazon, and two character codes at the second level. There are operational topics as well sprinkled throughout the week, talking about such issues, as I've noted on the slide, as improvements to the GAC website, an evolution in the support provided by the independent secretariat function, and a variety of conversations about record keeping and onboarding and engagement initiatives. We're also going to be starting the process for the next GAC leadership election and opening the nomination periods for the next round of vice chair elections and for the chair of the GAC as well. Among the bilateral meetings, one of the highlights that some of the other communities don't enjoy during the policy forum is that the board will be engaging with the GAC as well through another session to talk about a variety of issues that are important to both those groups. Chief among them, of course, is interest in the GDPR topic. Also in Panama, and actually kicking off the week for the GAC, will be the 8th pilot capacity building workshop in the region. This is an initiative that has been a partnership between the ICANN organizational team and the GAC that's designed on a meeting-by-meeting basis, either at an ICANN public meeting or at targeted regional events around the world, where we use the opportunity to introduce GAC members or people who are interested in what the GAC does to how the GAC operates, some of the important issues that are important to the committee, and other operational aspects of the work, basically how the GAC conducts its business. This is an area that has not only been of interest to GAC members and their representatives, but to also other members of the community. So for those of you who either need a refresher about the GAC or are wanting to learn more about how the committee works, the Capacity Building Workshop is an excellent opportunity to participate. There's also another major activity that the GAC is planning for that will be part of the ICANN 63 meeting in Barcelona, and that is the next high-level government meeting. That's an opportunity for high-level government officials to come and participate in ICANN activities every couple of years. And so the GAC will be devoting some significant time in Panama to plan for that event. And then, of course, finally, there will be opportunities for those of you who are interested to actually see the GAC in action, working to draft the GAC communique. That takes place at every ICANN public meeting, and we've got time scheduled for that activity as well. One of the critical areas of work that the GAC engages in and some of the fundamental engines for the work of the committee are the working groups. And there will be four working group meetings that will be taking place in Panama. The working groups are essentially creations of the GAC leadership. So the GAC leadership will identify particular target or topic areas and various representatives from the various GAC members and observers will participate in these. And in Panama, there will be meetings of the Human Rights and International Law Working Group, the Underserved Regions Working Group, which will be looking very carefully at the GAC Capacity Building Workshop effort and how that is being enabled and whether that's working effectively. The Public Safety Working Group's efforts will be integrated into much of the agenda because, as a number of my colleagues have already mentioned, the GDPR implementation is a very important topic for the GAC that will be the subject of numerous conversations. I think the GAC has devoted close to 4 hours of its limited programming at the public forum to talk about that topic and the various permutations of it. And then finally, the Nominating Committee Working Group will also be making a presentation to the GAC. That group has been working for some time now on how the GAC interacts with the nominating committee work of ICANN and how the GAC can contribute to those efforts. So that'll be the conclusion of some longstanding work of that group. I understand, Ozan, that we have a question or two that relate to the GAC that I'll be happy to get to in the question and answer period. But I'll stop with my overview there and turn things over to my colleague, Steve Sheng, who will take us through an update on the RSAC. Steve, I'll turn it over to you. Thanks.
Thank you, Rob, and good day, everyone. I would like to provide a quick update on the activities of the Rule Server System Advisory Committee, or the RSAC. Since ICANN 61, the RSAC has produced four documents, numbered 33 to 36. Here I provide a brief overview of the first two. The first one is a statement on the distinction between RSAC and rootOps. So RSAC and rootOps are two separate communities with different missions and scopes that relate to the DNS root server system. Both groups are very important, but they are often mixed in their distinctions. So RSAC provides this document to help explain the differences between the two functional bodies. The document covers the status, scope, membership, meetings, and how to interact for each of these groups to help the community. The second report is a report from the May 2018 workshop. Just as a background, the RSAC has been conducting a series of workshops to develop a governance model for the DNS root server system. And the last workshop in May is their sixth. At this workshop, the purpose was to finalize the proposed governance model for the DNS root server system. The RSAC also reviewed the model and discussed the various scenarios where how various functions described in the model would interact with each other. And finally, the RSAC planned the next steps. The report provides a high-level summary of the outcome, so I encourage you to read it if you're interested in this area. For ICANN62, the RSAC will have a series of work sessions, and also for the first time at the ICANN public meetings, all the RSAC for observation. This includes a joint meeting with the leadership of the nominating committee and discussions about ongoing and future RSAC work items. Another important point to note is the Intel Consulting Group has been conducting the second organization review of the RSAC, and they have published the final report. And during this meeting, the independent examiner will present its final report. Finally, last but not least, the RSAC will provide updates on its recent publications and current work, as well as answer questions from the community related to its mission and upcoming priorities at ICANN62. So please refer to the ICANN62 schedule for the most current information, including remote participation details. With that, I conclude a quick update on the RSAC, and I'll hand over to my colleague, Andrew, to talk about the SAC. Andrew?
Thanks, Steve. My name is Andrew McConaughey, and I support the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, and also known as the SAC, and I'll be giving a quick overview of SAC activities at ICANN62. These are the current SAC work parties. The first, the Name Collision Analysis Project, also known as NCAP. The draft report public comment period closed on April 18th, 2018, and there were 10 comments received. So the NCAP work party is revising their proposal to address those comments and plans to publish in July of 2018. At ICANN62, there will be two sessions. There are two sessions planned, public sessions, for a total of 5 hours. Other work parties that the SAC currently have is the Who is Rate Limiting work party, which is in its later stages and will likely publish a report soon. The Internet of Things work party, which is in its early stages. The Root Zone KSK Rollover Work Party, which is a work party that was formed in response to the ICANN board request to the SAC to comment on the proposed KSK rollover plans. And finally, the Emerging Security Issues Work Party, which is looking into bringing emerging security issues to Tech Day and providing some a presentation for Tech Day around emerging security issues. So with that, I'm going to finish up and hand over to my colleague, Ozan.
Thank you, Andrew. And hi, everyone. This is Ozan again. We will now continue with questions and answer session. And as you will see on the screen shortly, the Adobe Connect room microphones will be enabled. To activate your microphone, please click on the microphone icon at the top of the toolbar and then follow the instructions. If you have any questions or comments, you may go ahead and raise your hand to get in the queue or simply type your question or comment in the chat box. I would also like to remind you to mute your microphone when not speaking. I already noted there was a question earlier in the chat by Daniel Jacob, and we also received some questions during the registration period for the webinar. So as you think about your questions and activate your microphones, I would like to go through some of the pre-submitted questions and also address the earlier question in the chat box. You may feel free to raise your hand or, again, type your question or comment in the chat box in the meantime. So, Rob, I heard you while you were presenting that you noted the pre-submitted questions that relate to GAC, and will there be discussions at the policy forum in Panama on the future role of GAC, and also in relation to Daniel Jacob's question, he's asking will there be discussions at ICANN 62 on the upcoming ITU 20 potentiary in Dubai? And if so, what will be the focus of this discussion? Would you like to respond to this question?
Thanks, Ozan. Yeah, I hope you can hear me. And congratulations to Daniel for getting two questions in. Excellent work on your part, Daniel. With respect to the GAC role question, thanks for raising that. I mean, over the last year, the GAC has actually embraced an active role in the admin of the empowered community. And frankly, that decision seems to have driven several internal GAC discussions about processes and operational elements that can help the GAC operate more effectively in this new post-IANA transition environment. But that's not really to suggest that the fundamental GAC advisory role will change, and there's not any specific discussions that I'm aware of that are going on in that respect. Now, on a strictly engagement front, the GAC has recently experienced an increase in direct interactions not only with the ICANN board, but with other members of the ICANN community, other SOs and ACs on a bilateral front, on a variety of policy and even operational matters. That increased engagement, based on some perceptions, could be temporary and situational. For example, GDPR is driving a lot of those interactions. Or it could be signaling the desire for some for a more fundamental role transformation. I don't know, but in either case, I think it's still too early to tell, and more data and experience would be needed to note if that's a particular longer-term trend. Now, for Panama, the GAC continues to work internally to identify ways to evolve and adjust its processes and practices. As I mentioned in my presentation earlier, a number of operational discussions. These include how to onboard new participants because there is a substantial rotation of representatives among GAC members. There will be discussions about website improvements and operations, a growing focus on operating principles, as I noted, how to operate more effectively as a group. But no particular discussions are specifically targeted to more broadly examine the GAC's future role. That being said, the theme of role evolution is alive, I think, in a number of discussions, whether that's about GDPR implementation, where some have tried to link the gap to some of these accreditation models, and, you know, just other broader discussions that will take place in some of the bilateral meetings, might be of interest to some of you, like you, Daniel, who are doing more broader research. And so I would recommend that attendees, either in person or participating remotely, want to attend some of those bilateral meetings or otherwise revisit the transcripts of those discussions from the Panama meeting after the meeting is over. You might begin to note some broader themes there. I also briefly mentioned the high-level governmental meeting preparation. I would suggest that community members who are interested in some of the larger, you know, themes about roles and responsibilities might begin to turn their attention to that activity. That's going to be engaging participants in about 4 months in a much broader range of strategic discussions that might include the GAC's role in ICANN. So that's something that I would certainly commend or recommend to you. In terms of the ITU prep work for the Plenty Pot, I'm not familiar with any GAC work that's being done in that directly. There may be some side conversations, and David or some other members of my collegial team here might note that there are other SOs or ACs who might be addressing that or having people discussing that on the side. Thanks for the opportunity to flesh out some of the stuff I said earlier. Back to you, Ozan.
Thank you, Rob. And I also note in the chat box there's a question from Tato and Fikwe regarding GAC again. So we may revisit you, Rob, but I'd like to go to another question we received in relation to CCNSO. If we still have Bart on the line, then maybe we can address, actually there are several questions with respect to CCTLDs. So why are limited information on CCTLDs? Why do CCTLD managers remain largely invisible to their community, stakeholders, government, et cetera? As a result, the value and role of CCTLD remains unknown and underdeveloped. And the third question from the same participant is that, why is there always a lack of understanding of ICANN's role in the re-delegation process? And then why can't the CCTLD's location be seen as neutral and balanced? But do we still have you?
Yes, you do have me, so I can still answer these questions. I think there are several aspects to these questions, and depends a bit on say, the perspective you have in the relation between CCTLDs and ICANN and the CCNSO, how these should be answered. I think the first and second question are very interesting because it alludes to the, I would say, almost sovereign role of CCTLDs and the local internet community or interested parties. There is no role for ICANN and or the CCNSO with respect to the information that CCTLDs provide. It is a local matter, and it should remain that way because that's the way it was originally set up and still is the case. Why is there limited information on CCTLDs? Probably the best answer is go to the CCTLD and ask for information because they control that part, and that's part of their mandate. And the second question within all the aspects is related as well. An additional point there is that you see that not all CCTLDs are the same. Some of them, I know this by experience, are very active in their own communities, and some are for varying reasons are very low key. It could be because they don't have the resources, could be they part of a larger government agency. So again, this shows to the variety of CCTLDs, and that's part of its strengths, but also of its weaknesses, of course. and why they are, in some cases, they are invisible to the community and stakeholders. But so again, best way is to contact, if you're interested, contact the local CCPLDs around information and alert them to the fact. The with respect to the role of the ICANN's role with respect to redelegation or transfer, again, there are several circumstances to it, several issues. First of all, say the transfer or redelegation process is a very cumbersome, complicated process that involves a lot of local entities and ICANN, the local government, etc. And the role of ICANN is effectively, or PTI, is effectively very limited if you look at the policy around it. A second reason is why it's so not very obvious and not very clear is the frequency of delegations, transfers, and even less also of retirements is very low. There are some, say, ICANN is or PTI is involved in some technical operations, and that is on a regular basis. But transfers, delegation processes are very, very rare. In that sense, if you would look to the ICANN board decision-making processes, it's not very often you see a redelegation, and especially not for one country. So the understanding of ICANN's role in one country is limited for that reason. And with respect to the final question is, unfortunately, I do not understand what's meant with this. In principle, and if it's referring to the CCTLD registration policy, the neutral and balanced, again, that's a matter of the local community together with the CCTLD to sort it out. If it's a matter of locale, so where the CCTLD is operating from, in principle, the admin contact should be in country. However, there are circumstances where the admin contact is not in country because, for example, there are some countries with hardly any infrastructure, but still you have a CCTLD, or that's more a territory. So there is no clear answer to this question and to these questions because of the diversity, effectively, of the CCTLD community and the limited scope of ICANN's role vis-à-vis CCTLDs. Back to you, Ozan. I hope.
Thank you. Thank you, Bart. And I still don't see any hands raised in the Adobe Connect room. And I also note that Rob Hogarth has responded to Sato M. Fickwed's question in the chat box in relation to GEC and the NCUC. So I will now go to the other pre-submitted question that we received through the registration form. The question is, what does GDPR impact to internet community? And I also recall the second part of Daniel Jacobs' question in the chat box, which is what will be the next step regarding the decision by the German court concerning GDPR, who is? So, David, would you like to respond to this question?
Thank you very much, Ozan, and thank you, Daniel, and others who've asked the question about the GDPR or the European General Data Protection Regulation and its impact on the Internet community. The GDPR will, of course, require significant changes to the registration directory services, currently known as WHOIS, as to what is available publicly, the type of data that is available, and the uses of that. Obviously, will change for the impact on the European area. And so that is, of course, something that we are all looking at. Most recently, of course, the ICANN board adopted a temporary specification to implement a interim compliance model for WHOIS that is, of course, in line with the law in the European countries. And that temporary specification also then generates a community look at the final models of what the next generation registration directory services will look like and how best to do that. So we have three sessions at ICANN 62 in Panama that will be discussing that. Panelists will talk about the key policy changes resulting in this temporary specification and how to move forward as a final consensus policy that gives a more permanent solution to how to balance the privacy protection on the one hand and the access to the data for legitimate purposes of law enforcement and others in making sure that the system works properly and we have checks and balances in that system. So I encourage people to listen in or to be part of these ongoing discussions, and in particular the generic name supporting organization will of course be beginning their work on this for a consensus policy moving forward. So this is an important element of how the WHOIS system will work in the future and the balancing of the privacy and other considerations of law enforcement and others for that purpose. In terms of the legal aspects, of course, ICANN wants to know more fully from the data protection agencies and their board as to clarifications for what this means for the WHOIS system as we know it today and what changes we need to make to it. That is coming. They do issue some guidance for us. And the court case was another element of trying to provide a guidance on the collection of administrative and technical data for registrations in the hopes of being as clear as possible so that people can comply with the law and yet still be working with the technical specifications that require the collection of that data and the like. So this is an ongoing process to get as much clarity and guidance on the law and what it means and how that it does affect any changes that we may have to make in ongoing policy work. So it's an important discussion, and I encourage you all to do that. We have a website that also has a lot of data and information on the exchanges with the data protection agencies and the various roles. Our CEO, Joran Marby, has issued a series of blogs to talk about the latest information, and we'll provide that in the chat for you. So with that, Ozan, thank you very much, and we'll see if there are other questions.
Thank you, David. Quickly checking if there are any hands or comments in the chat box or questions, but I don't see any. I'll pause here for a few more seconds to give some more time before we wrap up the questions and answer session for the participants to think about their input. I see Cheryl Langdonor is typing. I'll wait a few more seconds. So I don't see any other questions or comments, and then I will jump to the next slide, and I'd like to let you know that the recordings and the slides from the session will be posted on the link that I've just pasted in the chat box shortly after the webinar. And I will turn it back to David for his final remarks. Thanks for joining.
Thanks very much, Ozan, and everyone. I wanted to mention that the policy forum in Panama City, Panama, is our third policy forum in this new format that we have been using. And it is the first policy meeting we're having in the Latin American region. And so we're very pleased to be part of that, and our Latin American stakeholders and constituencies will be actively involved in our meeting. And so that is another reason why we will have these slides available in Spanish. And we thank you for that opportunity and the hosts there for us to engage more intensively with our Latin American colleagues there. To that extent, I would like to invite all of you to be involved if you're going to be in person in Panama City. We welcome that, but also we have a very good remote participation elements there that can allow you to listen in and hear the conversations and be part of the conversations through questions in the chat and the like. And so I would also encourage you to follow that as well. With that, we hope that this briefing was of use to you to provide some background and preparation as we are all getting ready to depart soon for Panama, and I think a very interesting and active sessions on our policy forum talking about the high priority topics within the supporting organizations and advisory committees, as well as other topics such as the general data protection regulations and its impact on our registration directory services. So with that, I'd like to thank all for your participation and being on this call, and we look forward to welcoming you either in person or remotely at ICANN 62 in the next few days. With that, I wish everyone a good evening, good afternoon, or good morning, wherever you may be. And again, thank you for your involvement and participation.